Good morning, everybody. Glad to see everybody here this morning for this first of our Music Sundays in a long time. Thanks to COVID, we have not been able to have a Music Sunday in quite a while, and now we are able to again, so let's sing and rejoice. If you are delighted to be here, or if you are tired or troubled, you are welcome. If your faith is strong, or if your faith is battered or frail, you are welcome. If you are eager to sing praises to God, or if you need to be just quiet and listen, you are welcome. God welcomes all of us to worship today. God promises to meet us here. Let's pray. It's a glorious feeling to be able to unload our hearts, to spill out our gratitude and thanks to you, O God. For the rest of the night, for the renewal of strength for a new day, for the fellowship in gathering together with our brothers and sisters who share a faith in you, for voices to sing, for dedicated musicians who share their talents for your glory. Morning, noon, and night, may we share your love with the whole world. May we shout it, sing it in every possible way to proclaim your praises and express our joy. How great you are, O Lord. Help us, those of us who love you, to prove to our disjointed world that you are in our midst. Amen. Okay, let's open our Music Sunday with these two songs of praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, and Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, number 118 and number 81 from your blue hymnals. And let's stand, please.
Thank you.
Would you turn to your bulletins, please, and let's read this responsive reading as it is printed. O come, let us sing. O come, let us make a joyful noise.
By shouting and stomping and snapping our fingers.
O come, let us sing to the Lord, the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving, making joyful noises and singing the Lord's praises. For great is our God.
How great!
Very great. For in God's hands are the depths of the earth and the heights of the mountains. The seas are the Lord's, for God is their creator. The land is the Lord's, for God's hands formed, shaped, and blessed the earth.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
O come, let us worship.
And bow down and kneel in reverence, lifting our voices in awe.
Let us worship and bow down.
Perhaps no other gospel song has proven what the longevity of a scripturally based song can be, as has It Is Well With My Soul. Hardly a week goes by that it's heard on some radio or television program or heard it sung in a church. Yet the song was written over 100 years ago in 1873. The story of its writing has been relayed by different people, and for this particular writing, it was relayed back in the early 1940s by a man named George Stebbins, an associate of D.L. Moody, and a man who knew both Horatio Spafford and the lyricist Philip Bliss. Mr. Spafford was a well-known Christian lawyer in Chicago who also had great holdings in real estate in the fast-growing frontier town. He had been led into a deeper dedication of his life and wealth to the Lord through his association with D.L. Moody and Henry Morehouse, the English Bible teacher, who had come to Chicago and had preached seven sermons on John 3:16. In 1871, the great tragedy of fire struck Chicago, and in a matter of a few hours, much of Mr. Spafford's real estate holdings were nothing but ashes. This proved a real test for Horatio, but little did he know there would be a far greater testing for him in the not-too-distant future. After the fire, most of the young Chicago lay in ruins. The first building erected on the ashes was a building built by Mr. Moody called the North Side Tabernacle. It was at this place that Mr. Spafford kept himself occupied in helping those whose loss in actual money was not as great as his, but like the widow who gave all, they had lost all. He was fortunate, for he still had his law practice, his family, and also had some equity left. In November of 1873, some 2 years after the fire, many of the schools in Chicago had not yet been rebuilt, and so Mr. Spafford decided that he would take his family to England, where his children could enroll in an English academy and not be held back in their education. Just before they were to leave on a ship, a last-minute business development made it necessary for Mr. Spafford to remain in Chicago and to send his wife and four daughters on ahead. He would come later on another ship. The Spafford family arrived safely in New York and boarded the ship Villa de Havre. Soon after, they were on their way to England, but mid-ocean, there was a collision between their ship and an English sailing ship. The Villa de Havre floundered and sank, taking with her to the bottom of the ocean most of those on board, including the Spafford's four daughters. Mrs. Spafford was found barely conscious but clinging to a piece of the wreckage. While aboard the rescue ship, which was taking her and the other survivors to England, she was able to draft a short message, which was then sent to her husband in Chicago. It read, "Saved, alone." When Mr. Spafford received this message, the tragedy of the fire seemed but nothing in comparison to what this cablegram implied. Money and burned buildings could be replaced, but his children were gone. It was through these clouds of darkness and despair in the following days that there shone into the heart of Horatio Spafford the bright light of God's promise. God would not forsake him in the trying hour, no matter what the circumstances. Peace like a river, or sorrows like sea billows. With God, all is well. Captured by this thought, Mr. Spafford quickly penned the words of the song that soon would herald its way through the Christian church and encourage multitudes. In fact, I heard this morning it's a number of our favorite song. It would continue doing so for over 100 years. When he finished writing the words, Mr. Spafford took the poem over to a friend and neighbor who also lived on May Street. His name was Philip Bliss, the composer, who gave the words a most fitting melody, one that has kept the message of the song alive and vibrant all these years.
Turn to your purple books in your pew rack, and let's sing hymn number 50, Come Bring Your Burdens to God. We will be singing this through several times. Meg will be leading us with the deskhand part, and I, from my understanding, is when Meg stops singing, we all stop singing. That'll be the last time through.
You're going to also see Dodd's hand come up.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, that, yeah. That's so, and you can stay sitting for this. Sorry, page 50 in your Sing the Journey.
Thank you.
Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the precious gift of music that lifts our hearts to you in praise and thanksgiving. Whether it be singing, playing an instrument, or just sitting back and listening and maybe tapping our fingers or our feet, music has been a big part of worship, and we thank you. Father, we lift our unspoken and our spoken prayers to you. We pray for healing for those that are sick and those who have had surgery. We pray for comfort for those that are in mourning, for those living near wildfires, for their safety, for those experiencing war. And we pray for a change of heart for those who have provoked this war. We lift up those where storms have destroyed property. Father, we lift up our prayers of thanks for those who have felt your healing hand on them. We lift up all these prayers to you and say, hear our prayers, Lord. Father, as we go through this week, help us to share the promise of your eternal love with all we meet. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us this prayer. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8a. Even the sound is sweet, grace, grace. It is amazing. Who wrote the words about grace that hundreds of years later we sung around the world? He was just a little boy of 7 when his mother died. Life in 1732 London, England, had been difficult for the young mother and her child. His father was a captain on a slave trader ship and was seldom with him. For those first 7 years, the little boy was nurtured in the Christian faith because of his mother's loving guidance. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it, says Proverbs 22:6. This describes the early education of John Newton, composer of the beloved hymn, Amazing Grace. After his mother's death and several years of living with relatives, John joined his father aboard ship. Captain Newton was a different influence from what John had known in his formative years. Daily, John witnessed cruel and harsh treatment toward the natives of West Africa who had been forced from their homes and sold as slaves. He grew hard and cold in this environment and became a sailor whose goal was power, his motivation greed. There were years of this degrading life before John Newton experienced a major turning point. During a severe storm at sea, he recognized his inadequacy in the face of death. Fear gripped him, and he prayed to be spared. The sea eventually calmed. John Newton's inner life also had a new calmness and peace as he began to care for those he had once despised. Eventually, he abandoned the life of the slave trading ship. Hearing God's call to ministry, he entered seminary and was ordained into the Church of England. When he was 39 years old, he began his preaching and music ministry. Of the many hymns he wrote, Amazing Grace is the one favored by millions. John Newton died at the age of 82. Before he left this earth, he was heard to say, "My memory is nearly gone, but I do remember two things. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." Let's sing the hymn, Amazing Grace. What number is it? I forgot the number. 146. 143. Okay. Let's sing the hymn Amazing Grace and let's stand, please. Hymn number 143.
Among the thousands of hymns written by Fanny Crosby, To God Be the Glory is one of those, and it has been one of the brightest and the best of all her songs. It was compiled in 1875, and in fact, that's the name of the songbook that it was found in. The composer William Doane, a friend and co-worker of Fanny's, often wrote melodies to fit the words that she had compiled. In the early days of Fanny's life, this little blind girl was taught the faith by her grandmother. Her blindness did not hinder her, for she memorized anything that was read to her. She could recite the first five books of the Bible, imagine, and the Gospels, the four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Expressing her faith through poetry was a gift of genius. Her quick mind and her cheerful attitude made her a joy for anybody who knew her. She attended the New York School for the Blind and for many years was a teacher there. In addition to her teaching, she also ministered to the poor in New York. And she wrote the words for more than 8,000 songs during her 95 years of life. To God Be the Glory lay quietly waiting its debut for decades. Maybe it was just that was the way it was supposed to be, because the rest of the music was kind of, you know, not too exciting compared to God Be the Glory. Whatever it was, unpublished until the 1950s, when Cliff Barrows, the song leader for the Billy Graham Crusades, introduced it to the world during a crusade in England. And it appeared to be a new hymn, but it was an old hymn given a second birth. Since then, thousands of joyful voices have captured its majesty. I remember I was in InterVarsity in my first year of college in 1954 when I was introduced to the hymn, which soon became a great favorite of mine also. So you'll hear To God Be the Glory in This Is My Story. All of these will be Fanny Crosby's songs.
Thank you.
Would you please rise for the bless for the blessing? And then the hymn, the response to the hymn is "Not to God be the glory." It is "How great thou art," found in your yellow book, number page 63. And after the response, would you please be seated for the postlude? Go from here and always be thankful. Have gratitude in your hearts to the Lord. If your words tell of his glory and lives, and your lives proclaim his handiwork, then God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, will fill your life with happy songs of joy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don and Al and Abigail, for being here this morning. You hear Abigail every week on our CDs, but it's good to have her here with us, and it's good to hear the organ and the piano together. Thank you. Go in peace.